The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, listeners of today's special, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which concerns social interaction in Islam.
Salamu Alaikum.
Today, Wednesday, is the 8th of Jamadil Awal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of the month of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We are at the beginning of this episode, so it's a very good time to listen to Verse 21 of chapter Ar-Rum from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa min ayatihi شَيْئًا خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِّتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَّوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Ma lana rabbun siwa.
The aim of marriage is not often only satisfying the sexual instinct, but the aim is mostly reaching to a spiritual and bodily tranquility. And since the continuation of this relation between spouses, in particular, and between all human beings in general, needs a heartly and spiritual attraction, next to this statement, the Quran adds, "And He has set between you love and mercy."
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest night. Shows me right from wrong. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
By the way, we're speaking about social interaction in Islam. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "One who begins his day without endeavoring for the amelioration of the Muslim's affairs is no Muslim." If in the relations of the members of a society there do not exist proper fellowship, attention to inferiors, indulgence, benevolence, charity, service to fellow men, cooperation, and similar qualities, such a society can never be considered to enjoy prosperity. The fifth Imam, Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, said, "God Almighty loves that His servants salute one another clearly and openly."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about social relations in Islam and what are the recommendations of Islam, Islamic teachings in this regard. Dale Carnegie describes a well-known personality who was extremely popular and said that one of the reasons for his extraordinary popularity was that he saluted everyone. Every person may have experienced in his life that many a precious friendship has started with salutation or its repetition, and many an enmity has gradually disappeared through offering greetings. In addition to recommending and emphasizing the issue of salutation, and in order to prevent the abandonment of this admirable custom among people, Islam has advised that if a person begins to speak prior to offer salutation, he should not be answered. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man bada'a bil kalam qabla salam fala tujibuh." If someone begins to speak without saluting you, do not answer him. Moreover, the great leader of Islam has called those who ignore salutation as the meanest of individuals. He said, إِنَّ أَبْخَلَ النَّاسِ مَنْ بَخَلَ بِالسَّلَامِ. The meanest among people is he who shows meanness in salutation. A cheerful face and smiling lips are another matter which the Muslims should remember in mutual contacts. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salam, the fifth Imam, has said, تَبَسْمُ الرَّجُلُ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِي حَسَنَةً. Smiling at a Muslim brother is regarded as a good deed. Imam Rida alayhi salam, the eighth Imam, has said, مَنْ تَبَسَّمْ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ حَسَنَةً. The same thing that was said and narrated from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Forbidding fault finding is one of the acts recommended and forbidden in Islam, which are deeply effective in social relations. Listen to the explanation of this. In some people's nature, there is a mean tendency to be inquisitive about others' private life and spying on their secrets. This tendency produces evil results from which the inquisitive ones themselves suffer in the first place and meet an unpleasant end. The factor which leads one to find fault with others is a feeling of inferiority, to compensate which, one tries to find faults with other people in order to ease his own pains, forgetting that such a behavior rouses people's dislike of him. Thus, he loses his friends and his relations with others are shaken and broken. If such individuals who waste their curiosity and energy in finding faults with others devote their energy to finding their own faults and try to remove those defects, they will acquire fine results. In order to maintain social relations, Islam has forbidden fault-finding, which causes separation and dispersion, and warns the Muslims against committing it. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, a person who engages in curiosity about the faults of others should begin with himself as one of them. Reinforcing the social structure is the title of this part. The purpose behind social relations is to reinforce the foundations of Muslim society and strengthen the social structure to maintain continuous progress towards social perfection. Correct social relations can also help gain access to platforms of power, justice, welfare, and reconciliation, and help Muslim society face and solve various problems arising from social, political, and economic practices. Social relations also aid in spirituality and self-perfection within the movement of humankind towards Almighty Allah. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, is also reported to have quoted the Holy Prophet as saying, whoever hears someone calling for the help of Muslims but fails to respond to him is not actually a Muslim.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what He created. He knows that human beings require human interaction. They need companionship. And this is why one of the most important features of paradise is the company the human interaction. Allah, when He describes Jannah, He says, He describes the denizens of paradise by saying, عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, that they sit on thrones facing one another, meaning that they actually have human interaction. So human interaction is actually mentioned as one of the pleasures of paradise. So human beings, it's a part of our fitrah to crave human interaction and human companionship. And this is why solitary confinement is actually a torture method. It's interesting that if you take a human being, you don't need to inflict any physical harm on them. If you simply isolate a person, it will actually cause them severe mental damage. In fact, there was a study that was, there was an experiment. I don't think it was an academic study, but it was an experiment that was conducted in 2019, in 2018, in fact. And there was a poker player who actually didn't believe that solitary confinement could cause significant damage. So he actually volunteered. You know, he made a bet with people, you know, some of his friends, that I bet you that I can stay in solitary confinement for 30 days. And I bet $100,000 that I can do it without any issues. So they agreed. So they designed the experiment in the following way. He was given a small room, a dark room, and it had a comfortable bed. There was a refrigerator, and he had all the food that he needed. He could shower. He could do anything that he wanted. There was no human interaction for 30 days. The article that spoke about this experiment mentioned that after 20 days, he decided to forfeit the money. He only had 10 days left. He had already gone through 20 days. But the idea that I have to continue living in isolation for another 10 days was unbearable.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode and the continuation of this topic, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder now on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this hadith is about fornication and the prohibition of fornication. Now, as you know, fornication is one of the grave sins, one of the kaba'ir, and these are sins which are very, the punishment for which is very severe. Now, there's a little difference of opinion in theology regarding the definition of what a severe sin is. Some people say that it's a sin which is not forgivable unless a person, he repents from it. Other sins, like minor sins, are sins which God may forgive, even if a person has not repented for it before he dies. But grave sins, according to a definition of some people, is a sin which Allah will not forgive, even if a person doesn't repent from it before he passes away and before he departs from this world. In any case, that's a discussion that should be conducted in its own place in theology. Grave sins are sins which are very severe. Their severity is very intense, and fornication is one of these sins. In the Holy Quran, we read the following: "Do not approach fornication. It is indeed an indecency and an evil way." Now, also we should like to note here that there are various categories of fornication, and depending on the category, the severity of the sin, and consequently the severity of the punishment, may vary and intensify. Like, for example, if a married person commits fornication, it's more severe than if a person is unmarried, or if a person commits fornication with a person of the same gender, you know, it's obviously, you know, more severe than if you were to do so with a person of an opposite gender. Right now, we're not concerned with that. Let's look now at what the Prophet said regarding fornication. By way of passing, we can mention that the Prophet, he in this hadith, he speaks specifically about a married woman who fornicates with a person, another man. The Prophet said, "Allah's wrath is indeed severe on the married woman who fills her eyes with desire for men other than her husband." Right? So this hadith is kind of eye-opening because it talks about, you know, various levels of, you know, fornication. It starts out by mentioning the desire for another man on the part of a married woman, and it rebukes this. Then it says, or looks lustfully at anyone other than her unmarriageable kin, meaning her husband. If a married woman looks lustfully at another man besides her husband, this is also a sin. Upon which Allah thwarts every single good deed she has ever committed, even if this woman might be a good woman. But this act causes her good acts to be annulled. And finally, the Prophet said, and if she welcomes anyone other than her husband in his bed, Allah will rightfully burn her in the fire after he has chastised her in the grave. No coming back from such a grave sin. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at fornication in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 59 of Surah Al-An'am on page 134, right at the bottom of the page. Yes? The last Ayah in this page. So, brothers and sisters, open up page 134, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 59, right at the bottom of the page. Let's everyone listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين.
Nice recitation. This ayah is, again, one of the beautiful verses of Surah Al-An'am. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. You might know this, that this ayah in Salatul Ghufayla, which is a recommended prayer, a mustahab prayer, you pray between the Maghrib and Isha, between Maghribain, you perform this prayer, two rak'at of prayer it is, okay? And the first rak'at after Surah Al-Fatiha, you recite this ayah, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضَبًا فَظَنَّهُ, till the end. Then in second rak'at after Surah Al-Fatiha, you recite this ayah. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Then you perform the qunut, then you go and do the ruku and sujood and salah. That's all. Yes? So this is a beautiful ayah, beautiful teachings in this ayah. Amazing teachings. Let's see what Allah Almighty says. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. Do you remember in the previous sessions, we talked about the knowledge that the Prophet has? The knowledge of the Prophet is the knowledge of revelation, yes? And he doesn't have the knowledge of the unseen except the knowledge Allah Almighty has given him, bestowed upon him, yes? So Prophet said that, what did the Prophet say? Huh? قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. In this ayah Allah says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتُ الْغَيْبِ. And Allah Almighty has the treasures, okay? With Him are the treasures of the unseen. Allah Almighty has the treasures of the unseen. He has the knowledge of the unseen. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا. No one knows them إِلَّا هُ, except Allah Almighty. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah Almighty knows whatever there is in the land and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ. No leaf falls without Allah knowing it. Allah knows whatever leaf falls down, okay? When and why and how, okay? Allah Almighty knows everything. It shows about the knowledge of Allah Almighty, that it's kind of what? Unlimited. It's unlimited. So, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ. Nor is there a grain, a seed, in the darkness of the earth, فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. Nor anything fresh or withered, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. But it is in a manifest book. So it means Allah Almighty knows whatever happens in the world, okay? Why and how. Every single thing, the knowledge is with Allah Almighty. So this is one of our beliefs, okay? That we believe Allah Almighty is one and our Lord is knowledgeable. He is the all-knowledgeable. And also He is the all-knowledgeable. Wise, He is the all merciful, He is the all powerful, He is the all hearing, the all seeing, yeah, the all forgiving. So these are the attributes of Allah Almighty that we must believe in it, in them. So look, Allah Almighty brings kind of reasoning, kind of proofs, okay, for us to understand. Allah Almighty talks about His knowledge. Let's see how can we prove the knowledge of Allah Almighty. How can you prove that Allah Almighty is knowledgeable? Huh? How can you prove it? If somebody asks you, Allah is not knowledgeable, how do you prove He is knowledgeable? So if we see that the creation has happened without knowledge, without understanding, okay, without education, this doesn't happen. So Allah Himself is the source of knowledge. He is the all knowledge. It does not mean that it's Allah and He goes somewhere, He learns and learns and learns and comes and creates. No, He is the all knowledge Himself. If you want to say, what is knowledge? Say, Allah is the all knowledge. He's the source. He's the knowledge itself, okay? The all knowledge. That's why we believe in Him with reasoning, okay? Like Hassan made a great example, all right? And we also mentioned some. That's it. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah. Learn more about this ayah. Learn more about the knowledge of Allah Almighty in the Tafasir books. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. So it's time for us to jump and move on to the Tajweed rules. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, do you have anything to say, mention, or no, questions sir. You have?
No.
Nothing? So, let's recite a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
وعنده. Let's see how we can recite it beautifully and correctly. وعنده. Noon has a hidden sound here. I told you that day, if noon doesn't have any sign, it doesn't have any a, e, u, fatha, kasra, dhamma, or doesn't have any shadda, it doesn't have any sukun sign, any sign, just noon, remember that you should hide the sound. It pronounce the noon with a hidden sound. عنده, not عن, عنده, no. Noon shouldn't be clear. عنده. And do you see the baby wow after? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, extend the hu sound for 2 beats. وعنده. مفاتيح الغيب غيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. You can extend the sound of يعلمها إلا هو, okay? Or you can ignore it. So we have the letter جيم, the baby جيم here. Let's ask Hassan what he has to say about it. What does that جيم say, Hassan?
This جيم says that it's optional to pause or to continue here.
Or it's a stopping sign then.
Yes.
So we have many stopping signs like jim. It's here, as Hassan said. It's optional to stop here or make a pause here or continue reading, like joining. Look this way. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ. Go on. Continue. Don't make a pause. Or you can make a pause here. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. Make a pause here. So, thank you, Hassan. There are many other stopping signs like صِلَا, قِلَا, لَا, ميم. Many stopping signs that you can learn them in Tajweed books. As also we mentioned while we have them in our Quran, in verses, the verses that we have. So, inshallah, in every session we mention them. So, wala, sorry, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, pronounced عَيْن, هَا, هَا, هَمْزَة, these letters correctly. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ, طَا, pronounce it correctly. مِن وَرَقَةٍ. Hussein, how do you read this?
مِن وَرَقَةٍ.
مِن وَرَقَةٍ. So again, do you see noon is sakin? Here, I told you if noon doesn't have any sign, you should hide the sound. But remember that it's not always that way. It's based on the letter that comes
after
it. So if one of these six letters come after noon, you should merge the sound. Ya, waw, ra, mim, lam, noon. If these six letters, ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, noon, merge the sound. Min waraqatin, waw comes after noon. Mi waraqatin. Okay? This rule is applied with tanween as well. So refer to the tajweed books, the rules of tanween and noone sakina. So there are four different rules, remember them. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ. Hide the sound here. Fa comes after it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرُضُ وَلَا رَطَبٍ. Pronounce the ta correctly, dha correctly, and dhad correctly. وَلَا رَطُبٍ again. وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Merge the sound of tanween with meme. كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All right?
Yes.
So, it's time to recite it. Practice it, okay? Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, listen carefully and repeat so our brothers and sisters also will practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو.
وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو.
أحسن. You can ignore the mad or extend. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر.
ويعلم ما في البر والبحر.
وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ.
وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ.
ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين.
ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
So Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fa.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different objectives of supplications. We said that for a concept like supplication, there can be many approaches to discuss the parts around. In order to elaborate more, we moved on and said that objectives of supplication are numerous, but for us to be engaging in supplication, there seems to be some prerequisites, some conditions provided by the Ahlul Bayt, by the infallible Imams, by those very Imams who have handed down these transmitted supplications to us. And these are provided for us to be taught and learned by reading and reciting these supplications. So, we are discussing the different objectives, specifically the objectives of these transmitted supplications. Now, we said that one of the important objectives of supplication can be found in this matter that the infallible Imams who are engaging in supplications, they consider themselves nothing. They consider themselves as the simplest of all creatures. And then it is the time for them to be engaging in supplications. It is as though they think that this is the condition, this is the prerequisite of the supplicant in order to engage in supplication. So prior to talking to the Lord, prior to presenting our needs to our Lord, we need to recognize Him. And this gnosis, this knowledge, is provided mostly by the different parts of the supplications. For example, as we said, the expressions of love that the infallible Imams provide for us in the supplications, while there is no exaggeration involved, this means that they have considered themselves nothing. Why do they engage in supplication like that? Well, we know that they are infallible. they are in the highest stage of belief and faith possible. They are the best divine man. They are the most pious ones. They are the purest ones. And the answer to this question was provided in the previous episodes.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, in the fourth objective of supplication, we said that the expression of love is so deep by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam that we seem to be short of understanding them. We do not find out why do they talk to their lords like that. We do not find that out why they claim to be in love of the Almighty Allah, and they claim that they can somehow tolerate the punishment of the Almighty Allah, but at the same time they want to be with the Almighty Allah. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Habni sabartu ala adhabik fa kayfa asbiru ala firaqik. Suppose I could tolerate your punishment, then how could I be tolerating being away from you? This is not a claim. This is the truth. Because they do not have their recommended actions and prayers and worshipings for the sake of being away from nar, being away from punishment, or for the sake of the awards the Almighty Allah has vouched for. But the point is, they provide their actions and deeds for the sake of the Almighty Allah and no one else. That is why they can say, لَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ لَأُخْبِرَنَّ أَهْلَ النَّارِ حُبِّي لَكَ. If you put me in hell, I will announce to the people of hell my love to you. In Sha'baniya prayer, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, وَإِنْ أَخَذْتَنِي بِذُنُوبِي أَخَذْتُكَ بِمَغْفِرَتِكَ. If you punish me for my sins, I will ask your pardon. وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ أَعْلَمْتُ أَهْلَهَا أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. And if you put me in hell, I will inform its residents that I love you. So, as we see, all we have heard of the love of the lovers towards their beloved ones, their sayings and their exaggerated fictions, is not at all comparable, even for a second, to the tongues of sincerity and assured hearts of the infallible imams that we are discussing. Those are the ones who have handed down these transmitted supplications to us to be reading, reciting, and thinking over. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid, not